We often think that there are other prerequisites to God's blessing, but God says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." How can we help our country? How can we make a difference? How can we? By being all that we can be. The Army has a poster out and it says, be all that you can be in the Army. At least, I think it says that. Be all that you can be. As Christians, we need to be all that we can be. The Army doesn't train our soldiers in this book. They train them in the art of warfare, but they don't train them in this book. So they're not training them to be all that they can be. Because all that you and I can be comes through the Holy Spirit, comes through this word, God's word, given to us, written to us. Not simply a book of history written for someone else, but written for our personal benefit. These are written for examples and in samples for us. How can we help our country? By being what we ought to be as Christians. By hiding God's word deep down in our hearts. By memorizing God's word. Some of the RU program. How many of you have ever been to the RU program? Jerry, you have. Okay. A lot of scripture memorization. Why is that? Because that's what makes a difference in our life. That's one of the things that makes a difference in our life. A lot of scripture memorization. We can help by being the best Christians that we can possibly be. Colossians 2:3. Turn there real quick if you would, please. Colossians 2:3. Anybody know where Colossians went? Colossians 2:3. Thanks, Jerry. Colossians 2:3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In God we have access to all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We have access to all that. How can we be what we ought to be for God? By loving Him. By reading His word. Accessible to us is to do great things for God. That's accessible to us. Colossians 2:3. We need to proclaim the truth to a lost and dying world. Talking with a guy at work the other day. The standard, well, my friends are going to be with me in hell. I said, you're sadly mistaken. Hell is not a recreational place. I says, and who do you think is in charge of hell anyways? Many people think the devil's in charge of hell. God made hell for a specific purpose. God made it. And it's not a place they're going to want to be. And so we need to take the opportunity to tell people that we work around the truth. No, hell is not a happy place. You won't have any friends there. You won't see any friends there. You might hear them screaming. They won't be calling your name. We've got to tell them the truth. We have to take the truth to them. If you and I don't, who will? Quite possibly no one. We have to take the truth to them. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's what we have to tell them. It's not by your good deeds, by giving turkeys for the needy, by giving money at Christmas. None of that will take you to heaven, and we've got to tell them that. We've got to tell them that truth. Because there's much religion out there that is telling them your good deeds is going to make a difference. And their good deeds won't get them out of hell. We've got to tell them. Our society today teaches in our public schools and in our colleges and our universities. They'll teach every religion out there except Christianity. You can't even breathe that name in our public schools today. and in our universities. You're mocked and laughed at as if you're not enlightened. You can accept any of the other false religions out there, hundreds and thousands of them, and you'll be an enlightened one. But if you trust the Lord, they say you're not. Our society, our nation, our people, our educational system is against God. No room for the manger, no room for the Ten Commandments. There's no room in our society today for God. There is for Allah, and there is for all the false gods. There's plenty of room for them, but there's no room. We have to take God to them. We have to. They're not going to hear it anywhere else. Romans 1:23. The natural man recreates God into their own image. Into their own image. They'll carve out something with their hands, and then they'll worship it. In the image of four-footed beasts and birds, and they'll worship it. But you tell them about Jesus Christ, that how God came and died for their sins, and they act like you're some kind of a weirdo. Where would you ever get that? Where would you ever get that? It's because they're bombarded with it through our televisions, through our newspapers. Every day, it is all against God. It's against God. We've got to take the news to them. Following along in your lesson, Psalm 33:10-11, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. In Psalm 33, we'll look at different verses throughout there. Psalm 33, that was verse 10 and 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. No matter who believes it, no matter who doesn't believe it, the counsel of the Lord will still stand. Some people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, your lack of believing it doesn't make it not true. Does not make it not true. God calls the unbelieving man a heathen. We have a choice to make. Either follow the counsel of the unbelievers or follow the counsel of the Lord. Might not be popular to follow the Lord. They might look at you like you're strange. This is easy to teach, but the challenge we face is to live it. Let us make a difference. And of some, making a difference. Making a difference. How do we make a difference in their lives? We do it in the life we live, yes. Because they do see Christ through us, yes. Talking with a Christian at work the other day, she said, well, you know, they'll just kind of, when they get near us, they'll catch it. I said, no, although they do need to see Christ in us. I said, no, the Bible says it's through the preaching of the word. We've got to give them the gospel. We've got to tell them about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have to tell them that. Although they can see something different about us, at some point we have to open our mouths. And just being next to us won't give them salvation. Let us stop counting the cost and do whatever it takes. People see verses in Scripture about counting the cost. Well, we're supposed to, when we go to battle, we're supposed to weigh out and decide. No. No, we don't count the cost when it comes to doing right. Because it doesn't matter how much it costs. It's not like, oh, you know, that costs too much. I'm not going to do right. That's not what that verse is saying. That's not what that verse is saying. The verse is saying you count the cost, you look at it, and then you go, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to give you the best I can. I'm going to do what I can for you. Counting the cost, they have to see Jesus Christ in us. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We have to preach it. How will they hear it unless we preach it? We need to praise him first. The Bible says in verse 1, Psalm 33:1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Rejoice in the Lord. We have allowed the conditions of the world to steal our praise. We think we have nothing to praise God for any longer. But even though our nation is changing, our God remains the same. Take heart. It's not all over. It's not all over. We don't give up. We continue in the battle. We're soldiers. When hard things come, we're soldiers. We stand by God's word. If we stand alone, we stand. If we stand alone, we stand. Praise is comely for the upright, verse 1. The word comely means beautiful. You know, it's Christmas time, and this lesson isn't necessarily a Christmas message, but we see the word comely there, and we see the word beautiful. Does that bring a scripture to anybody's mind? Isaiah 53:1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The God of our salvation came down to this earth to be born, to die, to make man right with God. Comeliness, beautiful. We think of our Lord when we see those words. It is beautiful to praise the Lord. What a difference it would make if we would praise God in our homes, in our jobs, and in our schools. What a difference it would make. Instead of talking about all the negative and what this government official is doing and that government, there's enough of that we could get caught up into it and be totally caught up into it and never preach a gospel, and then we'd be wrong. We got to thank the Lord before others, because then they'll see our God. We've got to thank the Lord before others. What a difference it would make if we would praise God. People would know that he had made a difference in our lives. The best way to praise the Lord is to obey him. Saul didn't obey him. They went out and conquered the Amalekites, and he didn't obey the Lord. When Samuel came, he said, "What meaneth this bleating of the sheep in 1 Samuel 15? What is it that I hear? Oh, yeah, we obeyed. Yeah, we did. Well, you know, we kept the best for the Lord. When the Lord had said, destroy it all. Obedience. The Lord has always wanted obedience more than any sacrifices. Our sacrifices stink to him if they're not given from the right heart. He said, Psalm 51, when your heart is right, when that is right, then I want your sacrifices, and then they'll please me greatly. 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Secondly, we must believe him. If God is our Lord, let us believe him. Notice Psalm 33:4-7. Psalm 33:4-7. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his words are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouse. The Bible says that God spoke the world into existence. His word is right. If we could not know what is right, if we could not know which way is God's way, think how miserable we would be. God left us a very clear plan and a very clear path. God's will is not hidden from us in our daily lives. People act like, well, how do you know the Lord's will? Well, he's trying to reveal it to us. He's trying to reveal it to us through his Spirit. He's trying to reveal his word, his will through us through the word. Our young are being bombarded with evolutionary theory, with films and slide presentations and books that deny God and his word. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. And our nation has drifted. They certainly have, and they are against God. They're not just neutral, they are against God. If God is our Lord, we must believe exactly what the Bible says. God spoke the world into existence. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God spoke it into existence. Then, as a nation, we need to fear him. The Bible says in Psalm 33:8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. We are to know that God is God, and beside him there is none else. They all fail. They all fall short. To fear God means to hold God in reverence and respect. Romans 3:18 tells us that there is no fear of God before them. There's no fear of God. They don't fear God. They're going down through darkness. They think they have it all figured out. There's going to be a rude awakening someday. When that guy at work that I talked to says, you know, my friends are going to be there. When he gets there, there's going to be a dark awakening for him. No light. Total darkness. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's what he's got to look forward to. Does he have to go there? No. God made a way of salvation for him, didn't he? And I'll tell him, and you tell the people that you are around, we've got to tell them about Jesus. Our nation needs to turn back to God. We need to seek his mercy. Psalm 33:13-18. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. In his mercy. My righteousness would take me right straight to hell, as would yours. It's the mercy of God that's going to take you and I to heaven. It's his mercy. We need to seek his mercy. As a nation, our nation needs to turn to him. The attitude of this world is, I am self-sufficient. I can do this myself. But if God is our Lord, we will seek his mercy. Then we ought to, as a nation, we ought to love his appearing. If God is our Lord, we will love his appearing. The Bible says in verse 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. We wait for the Lord. This references the second coming of Christ. What hope do we have? Seeing the Lord Jesus is our hope, the person of Jesus Christ is our hope. We need a revival of the emphasis on truth. The second coming of Jesus Christ. He is coming again. God has given us this opportunity to make a difference in this world. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. They have to see God through us. We can do this by placing God as the Lord of our life. As the Lord of our life. Lord, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that because I like it. Because I like it. It makes me feel good. It makes me happy. That's not having God as the Lord of our life, is it? That's having me as the Lord of my life. We need to have God as the Lord of our lives. Isaiah 6. In Isaiah 6, we see the Lord high and lifted up. High and lifted up. And what was the response of Isaiah? Can anybody tell me that verse? In verse 8, what did he say? Right? Verse 3, right. And then in verse 8, what does Isaiah say? come I can't say it now? Because I'm standing in front of you. Isaiah 6. It's one of my memory verses. I should be able to say it. I can't even look at my hand, Brother Allen. Where are you? What's he say there in Isaiah 6? What do you got? You know that. Isaiah 6. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Then said I, here am I, send me. Why don't you be that guy? Let's go to the Lord. Okay, let's do our questions really quickly. What does the Bible say is necessary in order to have God's blessing on our nation? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. What are God's people called on to do in 33:1-3? We're called on to praise, rejoice and praise his name. Very good. According to these verses, Psalm 33:6-7 and 11:3, according to these verses, how was the world created? By the word of God, by the word of his power. Psalm 33:10-11, what is the difference between the counsel of the Lord and the counsel of the heathen? Counsel of the Lord will stand forever. The counsel of the heathen will fall. Then as powerful as men may think they are, all men alike stand in need of what? His mercy, the mercy of God. Then our last question, our soul waiteth for the Lord. What future event does this expression make reference to? We wait for the Lord's coming. Second coming. Okay. Thank you so much. No Sunday school for the next 2 weeks. I will be back in 3 weeks, and we will have lesson number 10. Brother Kelly, your verses will be up here. Work them through the holidays. Merry Christmas to you. We'll be praying for you. Would you pray for us?